Take a moment to think of who is the teacher who had the most impact on your life, or if not the teacher, the tutor, the coach, some sort of leader that had the most impact on your life. For me, it was my sixth grade teacher. Up till that time, I was virtually illiterate, so I could read the words, but as the teacher would say, what did it mean? I'd go, I was reading, how could I know what it means? Like it was so difficult to read. I could sound the words out, I just couldn't put it all together. So my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Mooney, went to my parents and he said, I am going to find something that Jimmy can do. At that point, I was getting 4 C's and 2 D's every report card through primary school. So he said, I'm going to find something that Jimmy can do. Turned out I could draw. So, and we had just learned that I might be part American Indian, so I was very fascinated about that. So he said, he gave me a social studies assignment, and he took the full length of the classroom and filled it with brown paper, and I made a mural. So everyone else was doing math, and I'm drawing. But I could not put anything on that mural unless I could prove that it was in a book. So I had to do research. I had to do research to prove, and I also had to write a little report, too. And I got an A. I'd never seen an A before in my life. He changed my life. He was treating me uniquely. Each child in that classroom was being treated uniquely so that they would get the farthest ahead, so that they would blossom the best. Not one size fits all. Each kid was individual. That's the way Jesus treats people too. And so we have two healings in the Bible reading today, and they are total opposites, total opposites. And I'm going to start with the second one first. So this is the deaf man, and now Jesus, probably the only time in his life that he ever left Israel, he is now in Jordan, in the area of the 10 Greek towns. These would have been set up by Alexander the Great. His plan was to make the whole world speak Greek. And so he went everywhere planting Greek cities so that the language would spread. So these were the 10 Greek cities where Mary, Jesus' mother, would have said, don't you go there. There are pagans there. So that's where Jesus is, around the 10 Greek cities. He goes there for this one man. So he's resting in a home, but the people bring a deaf man to Jesus. And they tell him what to do. Lay your hands on him. This is what you must do. Lay your hand. This is the ritual, you know. Lay your hands on him, and he will be able to hear. Jesus doesn't do what same way he didn't obey his mother and he went to Jordan. He didn't obey the crowd either. He takes him away privately. He's deaf. There's just too much going on. So he takes him away privately, and he's been something that everyone looked at all the time. Like, he's deaf. So he didn't want him being shamed that way. So he took him off privately. He put his fingers in the man's ears. The crowd didn't tell him to do that. This is sign language. Like, the man can't hear, so Jesus is going, this is what I'm going to fix. He spits on his fingers. Puts his fingers on the man's tongue. And again, this is what I'm going to fix. He looks up to heaven. So this is the one who's going to fix it for you. And then he says the powerful words, Ephatha, be opened. He's treating this man totally uniquely. He never stuck his fingers in anyone else's ears. Well, not that we know of anyway. So he's going, this man needs sign language in order to understand what's going to happen. And then it says he was released from his prison. When you're deaf, you're in a prison, aren't you? Everybody around you is talking in the crowded hall, and you're just bombarded with noise. You have trouble hearing what's going on. You feel isolated. You actually want to leave because it's overwhelming. So the man was treated uniquely. Jesus used sign language with him, and he's released from his prison. This is the sweet Jesus, right? Like, this is those paintings, you know, he's got long, what's that word for light brown hair, you know? And the children are around him, this loving, sweet Jesus. The next one is actually the not sweet Jesus. So before that, he had gone to Lebanon. And again, his mother would have said, don't go to Lebanon. That's where Jezebel had been, who had killed the Old Testament priest. don't you go to Lebanon. So he's there and he's wanting some rest. He's wanting to debrief with his disciples. He's wanting time to eat. He's been so busy he hasn't been able to eat. So he's left the Sea of Galilee into Lebanon, where most Jewish people wouldn't go. And he's also finally trying to get time to catch up with the fact that his cousin John the Baptist had been murdered. Well, a pagan woman comes whose daughter had a demon. Imagine, teens can be challenging at the best of times. You wouldn't want to have someone who's being controlled by a demon. She's breaking all sorts of rules. She's across the border from Israel. She knows that good Jewish people don't hang around with non-Jewish people. She knows that. And that if she goes into a house, the house will become unclean. She knows all this. They're neighbors. They know some of the things from next door. She goes into a private house uninvited. Right in. You know, she's one of those mothers like this. You know, at the sporting field. You're not going to get away with treating my son that way. Right? In she goes. She's breaking all these not Old Testament rules, but man-made rules. The Pharisees in particular would go like, oh, you know, we won't even talk to our wives on the street. It might look like we're talking to some strange woman, and so we won't even do that. Not in the Bible. Over, you know, there are Christians who do this sort of over-the-top stuff too, aren't there? Okay, so man-made rules. She breaks all of them. We expect sweet Jesus to get up and go, oh, where do you live? Let's go there quick and fix her. No. He says, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. This is not sweet Jesus. His job is to go to Israel first because he's fulfilling all the Old Testament prophets. Everything that the prophets said about the Savior, he's fulfilling. What the priest had said, he is the real priest. He is the real king. He is the temple. He is the real sacrifice. After he's died on the cross, after he's risen from the dead, then he's going to say, go therefore to all people. This is out of season. Like, get in the queue. You're queue jumping. And he calls her a dog. This is not a fur baby. He's not talking, you know, like some of my friends who have dogs. Sorry if you have dogs. You know, it's my fur baby. And it's like, Mom, you'll be back soon. Okay. This is not that kind of thing. The ancient Israelites did not normally keep dogs. Dogs were normally in the street, and they were wild, kind of like dingoes, undependable about how they would happen, what they would do. So it was definitely an insult. And probably, like when I first came to Australia, I heard the word wogs, and I'm going, what does wog mean? Well, technically it means a germ, but of this sentence it doesn't. Yes, okay, so it would have been common for Jewish people to call people in Lebanon dogs, and the Lebanese probably called Israel, you know. Okay, so mutual. They've been enemies, not just today, but for centuries or millennia. Jesus is stretching her, making her make her think about why she's come and what she expects. He's the good teacher, like Mr. Mooney, who's going, this woman, while the last guy needed sign language, she doesn't need sign language. That would be silly. She's on the edge of faith. He stretches her. He knows her mother heart. Nothing's going to stop her. She won't give up. So what will help her faith grow? So he goes, it's not right to give the children's food to the dogs under the table. And she goes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's leftovers, the crumbs. I caught some of mine going, on purpose, you know, there goes the crust. Did you just throw that crust? Yeah, okay. The dog ate it. We did have a dog who ate the crust that we threw on the floor. Wasn't a fur baby, but it was under the table. She is the first person in Mark's gospel to call Jesus Lord. First person to twig. The disciples aren't calling him Lord. Lord, you know, in your Bible, that'll be in all capital letters. It means Jehovah, Yahweh, the God that Moses met on Mount Sinai. She's the first one to go, Lord. And Jesus' goal is not the healing. Yes, that's nice, but that's not the goal. His goal is that she would come to the Savior, that she would have salvation. She is the first to call him Lord. She would be the first missionary to Lebanon, the first evangelist, the first to preach the gospel in Lebanon. She knew she didn't have the genes, she didn't have the right breeding, she didn't have the Bible, she didn't have the Ten Commandments. She could only expect the leftovers, the crumbs, and yet what glorious crumbs, what glorious leftovers. She's not asking for what she deserves, what she has a right to. She's asking for what she does not deserve as a pagan. She wants grace. Not my goodness, Jesus' goodness. Luther said, wow, this woman got the gospel. The disciples still haven't caught it yet. This woman's the first one to get the gospel, salvation by grace. Luther says, this means you are more wicked than you realize. Ask your kids. You are also more loved than you could dare hope to be. The apostles don't get it, but this woman has discovered grace. And Jesus says, because of your answer, go home. The demon has gone out of your daughter. That's the secondary thing, the healing to him. Salvation was the first one. She got it. Jesus doesn't go with her. Sweet Jesus would have run off to go with her, right? No, he stays where he is. She has to walk in faith. He says, go home. It's happened. There's no evidence where she's standing, but it's happened. So to walk home, she's got to walk in faith. I believe that he's capable of healing long distance without putting his hand on or anything else like that. I believe he can do it. She walked away in faith. She'll join us in heaven. He's not just a healer. More importantly, he's the Savior. Jesus works with who you are, like my teacher, Mr. Mooney, who had everyone else is doing work quietly at their desk, and I'm up on the wall drawing and researching about Indians. I read my first book, Geronimo, who was a famous Apache warrior. It had 98 pages. My mother was shocked. I actually read a book, and I loved it. It was awesome. Mr. Mooney changed my life. He saw what was unique about me and the door to get into me. Up till then, school just didn't make sense. And with dyslexia, you have to be highly motivated to read because the letters are swapping. So yeah, he knew the door. He found the door. He cared. He was unique. He treated every person in that, every child in that classroom differently to bring the best out of them. Jesus is unique. He treats each of us uniquely to bring the best out of us, to stretch our faith. How is Jesus working in your life? That's the question. How is he working in your life? He uses your gifts and abilities. It may be that you play music or sing or teach or do things, and he uses your abilities to draw you to him. He uses your good moments, your miracles, when things go well. He uses the hard times. My recent eye operation did not go as it was planned. And, instead of being able to see well in 8 days, 6 weeks later, I'm still no better than worse than I was before the operation. And it forced me to finally go, okay, could I trust that God could still give me a meaningful life if I can no longer drive a car, I can no longer lead a service, I can no longer preach? Could I still have a meaningful life? And I finally said, okay, it's not a way I want to walk. It's not a valley I want to walk through, but I can trust that Jesus will take me through. Of course, it's then when my eyes got better. I'm at the point now where I look at my phone and I go, oh, it's so bright. if you've had cataract operation, it's suddenly like, oh, it's blindingly bright. Okay, 8 weeks in, and it's to me, it's like a miracle. So Jesus used that valley to force me to ask, could I trust God that I would still have a meaningful life even if I couldn't see properly? That's hard. How does God work with you? What challenges? What's he doing that rocks the boat? That forces you to ask questions, or that blesses you and draws you in? He's not just the healer. He's the Savior. There are many things in my life that I wish had never happened. But if I took them out, I wouldn't be the man I am today. Some of them were really unpleasant. But if I took them out, I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be the man I am today. Jesus, like Mr. Mooney, knew what he was doing and gave me the experiences and keeps giving me the experiences that I need and keeps giving you the experiences you need to grow in your faith. So that, like the woman, you can share the news of your Savior. And so now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.